Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Let's turn to the word of the Lord. Psalms chapter 84, verse 10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I want to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, something better. You may be seated. The pattern of God is forever established. God's plan is always better. I remember when I was a kid in high school, one of our assigned reading was Silas Marner. And in that story of Silas Marner, Gloria, is a people that were afraid to attend God's church, to God's sanctuary too often, lest God would think they were greedy. Well, let me tell you that God wants you to be greedy about his things. He wants you to desire, to knock, to seek, to ask. And so the pattern of God is forever established. God's plan is always better. But so many people feel like, well, I'm so much better off than so-and-so, so it would be crass for me to ask for something because I'm already better off than so-and-so. If you live in America, you're better off than 90% of the world. And so you should just be content, and you should be grateful, and you should not desire more. But that's not really God's plan. Because what I receive is not based on my deservedness. What I receive is blessed on Christ's deservedness. You see, Jesus Christ not only took my place at judgment, there's such a misconception among Christians that all will appear before the white throne of judgment. That's all of the unsaved. We appear before the judgment seat of Christ. They appear the throne of judgment to be judged. We appear at the blessing of the Lord because Christ is going to give us our rewards. It's a totally different concept. So we receive not what we deserve, we receive what Christ deserves. He took not only our place at the judgment, he gave us his place at the table. And so when you get that concept, you don't feel guilty or condemned because you're more blessed than somebody in a third world country, or you're more blessed than somebody that lives down the block. You understand that you are blessed in Christ's stead. Better is not based on my deservedness. It's based on the goodness of Christ. So a greater than John the Baptist is here. It's almost synonyms, better and greater. God wants to give you better. God wants to give you greater. When the Apostle Paul discovered certain disciples, he said, how were you baptized? They said, under John. Oh, he said, no, there is a better way than John the Baptist. A greater than John the Baptist is here. God always gets greater. God always gets better. And he wants that to be in your life. You're not supposed to say, well, I've been so blessed. Now, I would be embarrassed to receive something more. God does not teach us to be embarrassed when our cup is full. He said, let it overflow, that all might know that it is the Lord that is blessing you beyond your capacity. And so God wants something better for you, no matter how good your life. You say, my life is so good now. God wants it to be better. God wants it to be better. If you go to the wedding at Cana where Jesus started his earthly ministry, they said, you've saved the best wine to the last. And so God is never anticlimactic. And so here we are in a pandemic. Here we are coming to the end of the church age, and somebody said, maybe it will dwindle down. Not if God is true to his pattern, because God's truth, God's pattern is always better, bigger, greater. The latter rain is always greater than the former rain. The glory of the latter house is always greater than the glory of the former house. Jesus said, I want to give you life. And then he said, let me correct it. Let me give you abundant life. Life and it more abundantly. I love Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do abundantly. Oh, no. Exceeding abundantly. doesn't even make sense to the finite mind. But after you've been blessed abundantly, God wants to bless exceedingly abundantly. The process of creation. God did not create man first and then the beast. His process is always better. It was the beast and then man. God always creates better. The psalmist comes to the conclusion that seals the thought process of everyone that becomes a true Christian. When he said, it is better if I am a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. It's better to be saved and to be a Christian without notoriety than it is to be rich and famous and die lost. It is a conclusion that the prodigal arrived at in the pig pen when he came to himself. If you ever come to yourself, that means if you ever come to logical reasoning, if you ever come to true concepts, you will realize that it is better not to live in a pig pen. It's better to live in the Father's house. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? It's always to spare. God's process is always to spare. It's not just enough. It's always to spare. It's always abundant. It's always exceeding abundantly. It's always life and it more abundantly. And so God does not become distressed with us because we receive. God becomes distressed with us when we do not expect abundance, because it's a reflection on his nature that perhaps he is miserly or stingy, or that he is a God that gives us an allotment where we can barely get by. God is not the government. Wouldn't you hate to live forever on your Social Security check? A lot of people do. Let me explain to you. Your Social Security check, when you get old, it's not going to be enough for you to take a lot of cruises. You can't travel the world on your Social Security check. It's just meager, just enough to get by. But of his government, there is no end to the increase. It is always increasing. And so God wants us to live with enough to spare. It is better in the Father's house than living the life of the prodigal. When Gomer, the promiscuous wife of Hosea in the Old Testament, which Jesus used as an object lesson for Israel, and when she went out and played the role of a harlot, and she demonstrated the unfaithfulness of Israel by taking on lots of lovers, finally she came to herself, and she said, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. If you've never come to Christ, if you're a backslider, I can tell you it's a whole lot better to go home. It's a whole lot better in the house of God. That is what God wants. Israel realized it was God's plan to always do better. When they left Egypt and they traveled in the wilderness, God said it's better here than it was when you were slaves, but it's not as good as it's going to be, because he gave them manna from above. That was wonderful. The Hebrews of the Exodus experienced this when they were camped at Gilgal, for God's reproach had been rolled away. Their wilderness wandering had ended. What they had gained was celebrated as they reflected all God had done for them in the wilderness in anticipation of the battles of the victory to come. But then at Gilgal, the Passover meal was a communion commemorating God's faithfulness in preparation of provision and promise. Their 40-year sentence of wandering in the wilderness was not wasted, but used as God as a means of instruction and reliance in the beginning. They were a stiff-necked people at the end of nation of God. And there on the other side of Jordan, the manna bread ceased. Alan Redpath, one of the great writers, I've read many of his books. I used to read them a lot when I first started preaching. If you really like great sermons and read them, Alan Redpath is the name. Alan Redpath noted, the manna was wilderness food. It suited a wilderness journey. It supplied the people's wilderness necessity and continued until the corn was available. In the beginning, the extraordinary provision was enough, but ultimately God had so much more for them. He went from manna to the milk and honey of the promised land. Manna was to-go food. Oh, I eat a lot of to-go food, but it's not the same as sitting down at Ruth Chris, believe me. Manna was to-go food, But God prepared a sit-down meal of corn and milk and honey once they arrived in Canaan land. Some of you are living on Burger King, and God wants to take you to Ruth Chris. God wants you to sit down at the table. God never talks too much about the to-go food. He always talks about he prepared a table in the wilderness. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Remember, he not only took your place at the judgment, but he gave you his place at the table. It's going to get better and better and better and better. Jesus brought a better testament. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. I love to read the Old Testament. I learn a lot of things and basically what not to do from the Old Testament, but it cannot compare to the New Testament. When it is decided that I am a free man, that I have been emancipated, Jesus brought us a better covenant. We have a better covenant than Israel had. The Bible said in Hebrews 8:6, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. We have a great covenant, which was established upon better promises. Jesus brought us better promises. Israel did not have the promises that we have through the New Testament. When Christ came, he fulfilled the law, which released him to offer to us better promises than Israel had. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. We have a better hope, and that is that Christ is coming back for us, that we will not suffer as they suffered, but Christ suffered for us. There are so many people today that like to compare our suffering with the suffering of Israel. In order to do that, you have to exclude the suffering of Christ at the cross. Not only did he take our place at the judgment, not only does he offer us our place at the table, but also he took our place on the cross. And so that relieves us of the suffering, and we find that we have a better hope. Jesus bought a better inheritance than the angels, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. You understand, before Christ died, man was relegated to a position inferior to the angels. But when Christ died, we leapfrogged over the angels, and now we are kin to God, where the Bible said Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren. We now have a better position, a better role, a better inheritance. Jesus brought us a better and enduring substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. But there is something even better than that. And for ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. It's not going to be a fluffy cloud. It's going to be tangible. It's going to be substance. It's going to be real. It's better substance than you have now. Jesus brought us to a better country. 15,000 people now stand at the bridge in Del Rio trying to get to a better country, because this country is better than Haiti. It's better than Central America. It's better than China. It's better than Russia. But ladies and gentlemen, as good as America is, the Bible said, now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly country. For God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he's prepared for them a city. God has a better country prepared for us than the United States. Better than anything that you can enjoy today. The Bible tells us that women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured and not accepting deliverance, they might obtain a better resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are born again, your resurrection is going to be phenomenal, because the Bible teaches us that we are going to be made in His likeness. It's a better resurrection than the world will ever know, because we are going to be created again in the form and the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. All of this does one thing. It proves to us that God has a pattern, and that pattern is better. I want every one of you not to think about the trials that you have gone through. I want you to think about the victories you have won. I don't want you to think about the sickness that you have endured, but think about the healing you have obtained. I want you to think about the day that you got fired. I want you to think about the day you got hired. I don't want you to think about the time you couldn't, but I want you to think about the time you could. I don't want you to think about the time where you were weak. I want you to think about the time that you were strong. And when you begin to visit what God has done in your life, you say, wow, what a God we serve. But not only that, God said, my program, my plan, my process is always better. No matter what your greatest day has been, God's got a better day prepared for you. No matter what your biggest victory has been, God has got a bigger victory for you. No matter what your greatest joy has been, God has got an exceeding joy for you. And God's message to you today is look around and thank God for his blessings. As the old song said, count them one by one. But then know this, that God is never anticlimactic. God cannot help himself. He simply is a God of better. Whatever God's done in the past, he will do it better today. He will do it bigger today. And so you ought to begin to praise God not only for what he has done, but what you anticipate God is about to do. Because the glory of your life is going to be greater than the former glory that you have experienced. The reign of God's blessing on you is going to be minimal in comparison to the great reign that God is about to visit you. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that the darkness of the night is for no purpose but to prove the light of the day, and that Jesus Christ is the day star of all creation, and the church of the living God needs to rise to the occasion. And the greatest witness that we can have is that it doesn't happen to us what happens to the world. That we do not experience the depletion that the world experiences. That we are not without as the world is without. That we're not sick like the world is sick. That we do not experience the depression and fear of the world. That God is a God of better. And he has brought us from a mighty long way. But praise God, look where we came from and look where we are. But most of all, look where we are going. For we're going for a better inheritance. We're going for a better resurrection. We're going for a better country. We're going for a better covenant. Everything is better in the kingdom of God. And I am in no wise fearful, I am in no wise tired, but praise God, I am living pregnant with expectation that the best is yet to come, and my God is about to pour out upon me a better that I have never yet experienced. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of joy of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. That's what James said about Job. In order to understand that, you have to go back to Job 42 and 10. After all Job had gone through, the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he was prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. It's always better. The things that prevent us from getting something better, doubt and fear. Impatience, but don't doubt, don't be afraid, and don't be impatient. My God's promises are better. They're yea and amen. God has not given up on this generation. God has not turned his back on his own creation. God said, be patient and endure, for I promise you it's going to be better. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, Ladies and gentlemen, God is in this house, and he is going from aisle to aisle and person to person. And his question is, will you be a recipient of better? For I have something better. Better than the world knows, better than you've experienced, better than you thought, better than you've imagined, better than you dreamed. It's a whole lot better. I was preaching in Lafayette, Louisiana, when a young man, a handsome young Cajun man, burst through the door, and he came and sat on the back seat. And when I gave the altar call, he came to the altar, and they had literal altars in that church. It was a beautiful new building, not real large, but absolutely beautiful. And they had big oak altars that must have weighed almost 200 pounds apiece. When he came to the altar, he was young and strong and handsome. He picked the altar up off the floor like it was a twig and waved it about and began to cry, "Perhaps I've found what I've been looking for." His testimony was this. He was raised in Catholicism. He didn't find what he wanted there. He went to a Protestant church, and when the preacher got done preaching, he went down and said, "Preacher, I want to be saved." And the preacher smiled benignly at him and said, "Son, you are saved. You're God's creation. That's all there is. There is no more." He said, "But I want more." He said, "There is no more, son. Just accept the fact that you're saved." He swore that day he would never go to another church. But he happened to be in a McDonald's restaurant across the street, and he heard us singing in that Pentecostal church, and he went back on his vow, and he said, "Let me go look into that church and see what they're singing about." And that's how he came to sit on the back seat. And when he picked up that altar and he began to say, "Maybe I found what I'm looking for," he said, "Is there more?" I said, "Oh, there is more, sir." He said, "What is it?" I said, "You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And when I laid my hands on him and he set the altar back on the floor and raised his hands to the Lord, the power of God came upon him. And he began to speak in that heavenly language because God gave him something better that he hadn't found in religion. God gave him something better that he didn't find in drugs. God gave him something better that he didn't find in the Lord. He filled him with that new covenant. He filled him with that new inheritance. He filled them with that better experience. He was filled with the power of the living God. He looked at me and he says, "Is there any more?" I said, "Oh yes, you need to be baptized in the name of Christ. We baptize him in the water." He said, "Is there any more?" I said, "There's more. You need to do like the woman at the well. Go tell everybody." I was in that church several weeks. They went from about 50 people to several hundred during that revival. The pastor of that church was part-time. He was a public school teacher. But during that revival, he resigned his position at the public school as a teacher because the church became so large during that revival. And it was really not me. It was one young Cajun man that found something better. And the last Sunday that I preached at that church, he brought with him over 200 visitors single-handedly by himself because he had found the better. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you there is more than God than you have discovered. There are many mansions. We always talk about that at a funeral, but it's true in this life too. There are rooms you have not experienced. There are mansions you have not explored. There are joys that you have not yet found in your life. Jesus Christ has got more and more and more. You don't have the ability to exhaust God's mercy. You don't have the ability to deplete God's grace. You don't have the ability to seek more than he offers. You don't have the ability to knock more than he can open. I tell you that God is here, and whatever you got, God's got something better planned for you this afternoon. He's got something better planned for you in the morning. God's got something better planned for you when you're 20 and when you're 30 and you're 40. And you're 50 and you're 70 and you're 80. God's got something better planned for you. Why don't you understand that you are to call upon the name of the Lord for better? Not because you deserve it, but because Christ deserves it. And you are now sitting with his nameplate before you at his table. And the Spirit of God is waiting to serve you the best you've ever had in your life. Lift up your head. Your redemption evening draweth nigh. This is the best time of your life. Your best days are just ahead. Our best years are before us. He is a God of best and better, and He's in this house today. Would you stand on your feet and give God glory in this house? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shiromohoyaha. The Holy Spirit is in this house today. I'm in a place in my life where I have to ask God, what do I need? I have no prevailing needs. I have no overwhelming desires. And God has to reveal to me. Have you ever been in a fine restaurant and you're just as full as you can be? And they say, sir, would you care for a dessert? And you say, I don't think I could have a thing. And suddenly the sweet little thing shows up. She's got that brown deal. And she's got every dessert that you can possibly imagine on there. And even though you thought you were full, you found out you could make a little bit more room for something that's on that tray. You might think you're full here today, but I tell you, you're not as full as God wants you. Because God wants to fill you, fill you, fill you, fill you until you are running over. That all of your cousins and your friends and your neighbor say, look what the Lord has done for her. Look what the Lord has done for him. If you're in this building today and you've had fear or doubt, and the pandemic has brought consternation to your mind, I challenge you to jump out of that pew and walk up here and say, God, give me the desires of my heart. Give me the best, God, that you want to give me. And everything that I know about, Lord, I'm asking you for it. But God, reveal to me what I need that I don't.